What if the polite lies we tell every day, the I'm fine when we're falling apart, the withheld resentments, the careful omissions, are slowly killing us? Most of us navigate life wrapped in layers of acceptable deception, believing we're protecting ourselves and others. We've become experts at managing impressions, curating personas, and maintaining comfortable distances. But what's the actual cost? Stress-related illness, relationships that feel more like performances than connections, a gnawing sense that we're living someone else's life. The premise here is both liberating and terrifying. Complete, unfiltered honesty about everything to everyone might be the only path to genuine freedom and authentic connection. Not selective honesty, not honest but kind. Radical, uncomfortable, sometimes socially catastrophic truth-telling. Let's explore why this extreme approach might be exactly what our carefully constructed lives need. We enter the world as pure experience. Watch a toddler. They feel what they feel, want what they want, express everything without filter. Then something shifts. We learn to evaluate, predict, control. Life becomes less about direct experience and more about following rules, living up to standards, being good. This isn't just growing up. It's catching a cultural disease called moralism. We teach children that certain feelings are acceptable and others aren't. Schools reinforce this, training us to orient through external rules rather than internal experience. We become feel-dependent, people who need external references to know what to think, feel, or believe. Lawyers exemplify this perfectly. After years of training to argue by rules and principles, they often become incapable of authentic relating. They work 70, 80-hour weeks navigating life entirely through abstract principles rather than direct experience. The further we drift from direct experience, the angrier we become when reality refuses to conform to our neat categories. Before personality and mental chatter, you existed as pure consciousness. In the womb, you experienced undifferentiated awareness, profound unity where time and separation didn't exist. You were the ocean, not a wave. All spiritual seeking attempts to remember this lost wholeness. Birth shattered this unity. Blinding light, first breath, overwhelming sensation, your unified experience fragmented into categories. Mother's breast, your hand, your body's boundaries. This differentiation created the mind, which paradoxically obscures your original nature. You exist primarily as the experiencer of what's happening now, secondarily as the recorder of experience, and least significantly as the rememberer of past events. Yet most of us live almost entirely in that last, smallest aspect, lost in thoughts about experience rather than experiencing directly. Meditation dissolves these artificial boundaries. Rediscovering wholeness requires courage. You must allow your carefully constructed personality to dissolve, experiencing what feels like death before rebirth. With nuclear weapons and environmental catastrophe threatening existence, this isn't just personal growth. It's a survival imperative for our species. Truth-telling unfolds in three progressively demanding levels. Level 1 involves revealing hidden facts, confessing affairs, money issues, or buried resentments. Most discover their feared catastrophes don't materialize. Parents barely remember the incidents. Spouses respond with their own confessions. This frees energy previously spent maintaining secrets. Level 2 demands continuously revealing emotional truths as they occur, where most people flee. After her husband Mark left, Beth suffered until facing him directly. I resent you for leaving when I needed you most. I appreciate how you always made me laugh. This honest exchange allowed genuine grieving, transforming resentments into appreciations and enabling forgiveness. Level 3 requires transcending even the ego of being a truth teller. You've developed humility, but now feel proud of it. A new trap. At this level, you own that there's no virtue in owning up. What emerges resembles your original innocence before developing identity. When your authentic self speaks, it describes. When your mind speaks, it evaluates. Notice the difference. My chest feels tight and my thoughts are racing, versus you're making me anxious. One describes reality, the other judges and blames. The first barrier is politeness, modifying your experience out of consideration for others' feelings. But this consideration is really self-protection. We craft elaborate cover stories presenting us favorably, while honest people simply say what is so. Here's the paradox. Honest people experience greater insecurity because they rely on fewer beliefs for protection. Beliefs don't provide actual security, but they insulate us against reality, creating a comforting illusion of control. Learning to make uncertainty pleasant resembles enjoying a roller coaster, initially uncomfortable, but eventually exciting. Our cultural taboos against excitement run deep. Freud's psychoanalysis emerged from Victorian sexual repression. Though shame has decreased, we still engage in complex social dances to control excitement and avoid embarrassment. Repressed sexuality doesn't vanish. It resurfaces as socially acceptable addictions: overeating, overworking, shopping, smoking, drinking. These provide similar physiological arousal while avoiding taboo. After two world wars revealed our problem with anger, Fritz Perls developed theories on transforming aggression into growth. Rather than experiencing immediate anger, we engage in mental criticism, making ourselves sick through denial. This unacknowledged anger manifests as weight gain for protection or artificial niceness that increases isolation. When we allow ourselves to experience anger fully, it often transforms or disappears. Beneath anger lies grief, and beneath grief lies joy, perhaps our most primitively repressed emotion. Adults systematically suppress joy to protect themselves from potential hurt. Children express anger and move on. Adults hide it, letting it emerge indirectly, as forgetfulness, criticism, accidents, hurtful slips. Without bodily experience and acknowledgement, anger doesn't complete its cycle. Telling the truth about anger means making present tense statements directly to the person involved. This isn't morality, it's pragmatic functionality. When willing to experience something without categorizing it as good or bad, you gain choice in responding. Powerful relationships reveal our nature through how we relate to each other. Martin Buber distinguished between I-you relationships involving our whole being and I-it relationships that objectify others. The difference between relating to a person experiencing PMS versus PMS itself, or someone slightly inebriated versus a goddamn drunk. For couples wanting genuine intimacy, tell each other your entire life story. Share your complete sexual history in detail. Masturbate to orgasm in front of each other without assistance. Disclose any affairs, near affairs, flirtations, or daydreams. Take turns with 30-minute monologues expressing all resentments and appreciations. Relive these experiences while telling them so more detail emerges. Discuss attractions to other people and sexual fantasies about them. Whether monogamous or polygamous, the critical factor is truthfulness, not exclusivity. The blissful in-love state connects us with our sense of being through another person. Problems arise when this feeling becomes a belief to preserve and defend, which paradoxically makes it disappear. We resent partners for changing when often we've changed. Arguments ensue when both expect the other to live up to previous expectations rather than meeting who they actually are right now. Power resides in persons, not techniques. We are integrated beings producing exactly the results we choose. The dieter who can't stop snacking, the workaholic longing for family time, these aren't contradictions, but smokescreens hiding true intent. Our unwillingness to acknowledge this power keeps us stuck. When we shift from moralistic thinking to experiential being, our shrill, shouldistic warrior self moves to the background, while our natural, present-moment experiencer comes forward. People discover their power when they reconnect with bodily experience, rather than obeying the internal voice of shame-based moralism. Cherish the independent witness, the being that observes your mind's moralism, thoughts, and experiences. From this perspective, you gain freedom to use all your mental patterns creatively. A person operating from this expanded consciousness chooses relationships from freedom rather than security, values experience over protection, prioritizes discovery over carefulness. When you lie or withhold information, you're protecting something meaningless, usually a memory, to preserve a constant state of being. The illusion of the self you're protecting blocks your view. When you destroy that illusion through truth-telling, you see clearly. Your power doesn't lie in perfect self-control or flawless presentation. It lives in the messy, uncomfortable, liberating act of simply telling the truth about what is, right now, to the person in front of you, regardless of consequences. That's the only path back to being fully alive.